Tonight, we're looking at chapter 5, 11 verses. You are cursed with a curse. Zechariah 5, verses 1 to 11. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. And that's from Malachi. I think it's chapter 3. Babylon is cursed with a curse because they have robbed God. And what they have robbed them of is a life of dedication and fidelity to his word, which is impossible to accomplish without God's spirit within us. It's ridiculous to think that we could actually rob God of anything, seeing he owns everything. Mankind's thieving ways demonstrate the spiritual condition of our hearts that are naturally against the Spirit of God. With such a nature, we will rob and take that which is not ours to take, as demonstrated from the very get-go with Adam and Eve. But again, these outward actions in the garden just demonstrate how we naturally misappropriate God's word inwardly. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, which is God's word, which is spirit, his words, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Genesis 3:6, and when the woman, typifying the spirit of the churches of Babylon, saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, demonstrating our need to be under the law of Moses at first, the schoolmaster, which the tree of the knowledge of good and evil represents, until we are dragged to the tree of life that represents Christ. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law, the knowledge of sin. And that's what was made manifest by their actions in the garden. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid, nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Verses 1 to 7 now. Then I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, this is the curse that goes forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that steals shall be cut off as on this side according to it. And everyone that sweareth shall be cut off on as that side according to it. So there's the idea of theft and stealing. But what are we stealing? Well, we'll get into that. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts. And it shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that swears falsely by my name, which we know is God's word, his name. And it shall remain in the midst of his house and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goes forth. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah. It goes forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Then lifted I up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women. And the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whether do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, to build it a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. This section of Zechariah specifically shows us how we naturally go into Babylon, and only by the grace and faith of Christ come out of her, my people. the imagery of a flying roll, that's in verse 1, and two women with wings of an unclean bird called a stork demonstrate how at first we carry the lies of Babylon throughout all the earth within, and outwardly how we are all initially witnesses of another Jesus, whose false gospel is made known loud and clear from the abundance of our deceived hearts throughout the world. This is done via the churches that have been given power to do that. Those churches of Babylon are represented by the two women that have wings of a stork in verse 9, and the flying roll is the word of God that they bring to the great unwashed masses. Wherefore, come out from among them, be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We all must go into Babylon, and by God's great power, be dragged out of her, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice through Christ, which is what the book of Malachi points to. Christ and his body are the means by which we will overcome all the lies that have been perpetrated by the devil throughout the years in the land of Shinar. Verse 11, which represents the place where Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, thrives, the place where we come out of her to be caught up to God in heaven, where the power of Christ in his people that is far higher than the powers and principalities that ruled us in Babylon, the wings of the unclean stork. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And she brought forth a man-child, Revelation 12:5, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Ephesians 2:6, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 1:19-21. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? What the greatness of his power toward us produces? These are verses that we're looking at through this week. We were looking at these verses. So this is what God's power produces. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. The world is without in Babylon. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And God will give us the power to do that. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. So God knows what we're up against, is what that's telling us, both within ourselves, and he knows the people that he brings toward us in our lives. That's all orchestrated by God, who's working all things according to the counsel of his own will. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places in regard to those powers. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Verse 1, then I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. Right after we learned of the two witnesses who witness against Babylon in verses 12 and 14 of chapter 4, Zechariah says, then I turned. This action of Zechariah turning symbolizes for God's people that we know who we are as our function in the Christ witnessing of these things, being those who observe and see and understand the lies that we've come out of by the grace and faith of Christ, which is what Zechariah's statement, then I turn, typifies. And you are witnesses of these things. I think of Lot's wife, you know, in the negative, turning, looking back. And Christ says, remember her, because there's a negative and a positive to turning. turning away from darkness, going toward the light by the grace of God. It is a lifelong journey coming out of Babylon and cleansing our heavens as we are sanctified by the Spirit of God. We don't turn once, say a 10-second sinner's prayer, and it's all over. Rather, we keep turning where the Lord would have us go to be his witnesses of these things. In the earth, our whole life, that is many seasons, which concludes in our turning to dust again. All of that process of turning and seeing who we are or where we are is prophesied, or where we were rather, is prophesied for us in Ezekiel 21:27. That shows us what God is doing with our old man, who will be abased so that a new creation can increase and come forth. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. It is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Thus saith the Lord, this is Ezekiel, remove the diadem, take off the crown, it shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. Take off, in other words, the false way that you misappropriated the word of God, which can only happen through a process of judgment, symbolized by the three overturnings. I will overturn, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. Well, whose right is it? Whose right is that crown? It's Christ's crown being forged in our heavens that we give back to him and we acknowledge him. The 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, and we know the rest of that. They give glory and honor to God for the work that he's done through them. So likewise you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And now, son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God concerning the Ammonites. And these are the things that God's, of course, destroying within us. That's what they typify. And concerning their reproach, even say thou, the sword is drawn, the word of God, for the slaughter is furbished to consume because of the glittering. With this in mind, we see the prophet Zechariah, who represents the elect, turning and lifting up his eyes and looking and beholding a flying roll. That roll is not another gospel. It is the word of God, but it is wrapped around the idol of carnal hearts that naturally pervert the truth, manifesting in a divided Christ. There are two gospels flying around in the heavens, one that is coming from the manifold wisdom of God that is made known by the church, and another that is a flying roll that is filling the world with lies and must be overcome in our heavens. Galatians 1, verses 5 to 7, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Revelation 2:9, verses 2 and 3, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. So that's Babylon's power, the smoke of the pit, the lies that come out, the locusts that blot out the sun of righteousness. Revelation 12, verse 14, and the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, the same symbolism as the unclean stork, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And for an in-depth description on this symbolism, Mike's studies in Revelation bring that out very brightly. 2 Peter 2, verses 19-20, while they promise them liberty, They themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And Satan is very subtle. He doesn't entangle us with obvious things that we know. He entangles with a little leaven that leavens the whole lump. The negative smoke rises from the pits of Babylon that we come out of, and the positive smoke ascends up to God with the prayers of the saints. And then a review of the word roll will help us to see the negative and positive use of the word. Revelation 9:2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Revelation 8:4, and the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. So there's that word roll, H1556. H4039, rather. And there's the occurrences of it. And we're going to be looking at roll is 20 times. And then volume is the same word once in Psalms 40, verse 7, which is very interesting. In Zechariah, it represents the negative way in which we use God's word at first in Babylon. In every instance, it's talking about something that is written down, and more specifically, the word of God, which is likened unto the ephah in verse 10. This roll talked about in the book of Zechariah is the word of God, as Psalms 40, verse 7 attests to its use of the Strong's number. What does a thief do but rob you of your possessions, which is what Babylon does with the words of God that are carried on unclean wings, the stork that represents the carnal mind, or that can't rightly divide the word of truth, or our former conversation. So just so we know, I mean, Leviticus 11:19, and the stork, the heron after her kind, and the lapwing and the bat, verse 13, and these are they which you shall have in abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination, the eagle and the ostrich and the offspring. So that's very clear. God's just showing us that those are the powers that carry the word of God at first in our heavens until they don't. Now we look at Psalms 40, verse 7. Then I said, lo, I come in the volume, which is that same word, roll of the book, it is written of me. Verse 2, and he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. The roll's dimensions, the length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits, reveals that this is the word of God that is going forth, actually flying forth in the heavens of mankind, typifying what God's quick and sharp two-edged sword of his word can and will ultimately accomplish against the flesh of all mankind. It won't return in vain, which we're going to see here. It will not go forth in vain, and it will accomplish that which God has set it out to do, and will not return void. What God has sent it to do is witness, that's the length, 2 times 10, against the flesh of mankind, 10, which equals the breadth of 10 cubits, which represents the flesh, via a process of judgment. So 20 plus 10, that's 30, there's your process of judgment. Each man in his order, we always have to remember that. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. And it does that in Babylon too. It convicts people. It leads them to repentance, but God permitting, it goes beyond that. And we don't just stumble onto the word. If God brings us that far, then he has another work that takes us further, God permitting. Then we're crushed by the stone, and then that word convicts us even more deeply, and we're washed and sanctified by the word. But this, so verse 11 of Isaiah 55, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And that's always been true. God's word is always accomplishing exactly what he wants, right from the very first breath that Adam took. God's word is accomplishing what he wants. And even before that, the creation is revealing God's word, his power. Verse 3, then said he unto me, this is the curse that goes forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that steals shall be cut off as on this side according to it. And everyone that swears shall be cut off as on that side according to it. When the word goes forth, it is the light that reproves the darkness of our heart and shows us that we have stolen from God. For everyone that steals shall be cut off as on this side according to it. And we have sworn falsely by God's word as well. Everyone that swears shall be cut off as on that side according to it. The very subject of Malachi chapter 3 is about the curse that is upon all flesh for not being able to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. When we try to gain our own salvation, only knowing Christ after the flesh, we are crucifying Christ afresh by not seeing our need to follow Christ's exemplary, not substitutionary sacrifice, by filling up what is behind of his afflictions for his body's sake in our own lives. That is when our old man becomes cursed in the positive sense, as we are given to read, hear, and keep the sayings of the prophecy, being crucified with Christ, our flesh being cursed for hanging on the tree of life, Christ, as our new man is blessed to now live by the faith of Christ, which is what Galatians 2:20, of course, tells us. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Will a man rob God? You have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So by our own righteousness, we're cursed. When it's not Christ's righteousness and the faith of Christ, we're cursed. But when, of course, we're crucified with Christ and being buried into his baptism and dying daily, then our old man is cursed and we're living by the faith of Christ. Deuteronomy 21:23, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Verse 4, I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that swears falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. The word of God comes forth into our life, and then it begins its work of convicting us of our thieving ways, our falsehoods and lies, and it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. All telling us that when we defile the temple of God, he will destroy the first temple with the timber and stones thereof and make it anew in the potter's hand. These are prophecies that Zechariah is seeing of what God is going to do to all the world, each man in his own order. And for God's elect today, they reassure us of God's power to burn up the wood, hay, and stubble, so that, Lord willing, we will go unto perfection on the third day, if he will permit. Not now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And this will we do if God permits. If God's going to judge us in this age, then that cleansing process is going to happen now. Know you not that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And of course, we all do. And that's what, if God's working with us, he's driving those beasts out of the temple that defile the temple through Christ. And that's how, of course, he increases and we decrease. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Verses 5-7, then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goes forth. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah that goes forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sits in the midst of the ephah. So now the angel of the Lord that is talking to Zechariah provokes him to love and good works in type and shadow by telling him, lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goes forth. Zechariah, who represents the young babe in Christ, says once again, what is it? And the angel of the Lord, who represents the church, tells him, this is the word of God that is going forth into the whole world via the churches of Babylon. This is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. Which makes me think of this verse. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. This is an ephah that goes forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I guess that would be the one of the principal verses to show us how important our prayers are for each other. Our prayers bless us and strengthen us and hold us up and give us what we need to endure until the end. So we really are connected through our prayer life, through our walk, because we God has told us this. The ephah is the measure of grain that goes forth from God's hands. And it goes out of this woman who represents Babylon, who is in the midst of it. And it is a talent of lead that is being lifted up, which is a base metal representing all that the world can get out of God's word. That's all they can get out of it without the discerning spirit of God within them, or the trials of God that burns away those base metals and purifies the precious stones that God is creating within the elect. Malachi 3, verses 17 and 18, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. Verses 7 and 8, 7 just to make this more apparent. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sits in the midst of the ephah. And he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. The woman who represents Babylon is cast into the midst of the ephah. And the ephah represents the measure of God's word that has the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. The word of God is a curse to our old man while under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. The lead cast upon the mouth thereof is the law for the lawless and disobedient of 1 Timothy 1:9. That we all must be under until our mouths are purified with fiery trials that take us from the basis of metals, lead understanding to precious words that have been purified in the fiery trials of life by which we are received of God. The lead covers the mouth of this basket that has the woman and the ephah within it, symbolizing how the word of God is closed off through spiritual blindness from Babylon for an appointed time. And this is another important study, an in-depth study at this base metal on lead that Mike's written. Here are a few excerpts that really bring this point home. Corruptible base metals are used to describe the masses of unconverted, unenlightened, carnal, rebellious mankind. These metals are all refined from out of the earth, but a base metal, even when refined, is still a base metal. In other words, it really is not that uncommon or of very much value to God. The fire that refines these metals can also consume them. Both lead and flesh will be consumed by the fire of God's word. Babylon is a talent of lead, which is the curse going into every house. Galatians 4, verses 1 to 7. Now I say the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. That's our former conversation. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And that's when the Son of God truly sets us free. We die daily and we're being set free. We recognize what we are when we're keeping the law of Moses. We recognize our sinful nature, but Christ comes and delivers us through the grace and faith of Christ to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Isaiah 6, verses 6 and 7. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth. Remember that mouth part of the lead on the mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched my lips, thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. The self-righteousness, which is what iniquity is, it's gone. Well, it can still resurface, but we're dying daily now, and we're recognizing that it's Christ doing the work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 9, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. So that ephah is a measure for grain, hence a measure in general, it says. The dream is one principle applies here, and the flying roll and the two women with the wings of a stork are telling us the same thing with different details. Zechariah, representing the elect, who has his eyes open to see in type mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Not one harlot, harlots, plural, two women flying to witness. There are many churches that have gone out with the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, representing those who've come out of the sea of humanity and are now between the earth and the heaven, filling it with every foul spirit, every false doctrine symbolized by them doing this. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. When you are between the earth and the heaven, and not in the third heaven that represents where God's elect are raised in heavenly places, then you are at a stage where you are a beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. It doesn't mean that we're still not a beast. We are, but this is where the beast is at this point. He's not tame. A beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Having the words of God and casting them behind us is what it means to have horns like a lamb, but speak as a dragon. Not resisting evil, condoning war, hating our enemies, while saying we are Christians, is what must be burnt out of all those who are going to be in the blessed and holy first resurrection. And that takes great power. And this love toward our enemy is connected to those who are blessed to develop the patience and faith of the saints in Revelation 13:10. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 to 2, 3, 4, and 6. Oh, 2 to 4, rather. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years, wherein the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. Speaking of Paul, he's talking about himself, third person. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter, It's lawful for the body of Christ to utter, because that's where the manifest knowledge of God is made known, the manifold knowledge of God. And has raised us up together in paradise and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, all in earnest, but that's where we are. Revelation 13, verses 10 and 11. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. So the words that we speak, they destroy the old man. They destroy my old man. They destroy your old man. We're all holding this sword together. And the Lord is directing the use of that sword. And that's why it says here, here is the patience and faith of the saints. It's the work of God through each one of us. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Verse 10, then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the Ephah? So why is this happening? What's going on here? When we start seeing the hypocrisy in Babylon, we start seeing it in ourselves as well, and we start asking questions like, why do these churches bear the Ephah? To learn that Babylon, who is represented by the court and the temple, has been sacrificed for our sakes to do the heavy lifting of bearing the Ephah, so that the word can go forth to all nations, so that a few out of those many called can emerge by God's grace. For many are called, but few are chosen. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 11, and he said unto me, to build it a house. And this is why it's gone forth. Why is this stork gone forth? He said unto me, to build it a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. What these two women with the stork wings do is fly into the land of Shinar, which is another word for Babylon, where they establish their own righteousness upon her own base, which is what that means, which is where we all go into at first and still can. As they say, it's a 9 daily process, and here's a verse that really confirms that. Paul is saying, and be found in him, not having my own base, my own righteousness, which is of the law, bringing me back into the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So there's Shinar, later known as Babylon or Chaldea. Only the Lord can build a true spiritual house. So building a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon our own base, all represents our own righteousness, our many wonderful works. That is really just a house built upon sand, that is talents buried within the earth. When we operate in our flesh, we are cursed and robbing God of his glory. That can and will be manifest in those who are blessed to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Otherwise, our talents are just being buried in the earth. Psalms 127, verse 1, a song of degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build a house, he labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now, of course, God has to give us the power to do that. But Christ says, I liken you unto a wise man who built your house upon a rock, knowing that it was Christ who did that construction, spiritual construction, Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. That's building upon a rock. Except the Lord build the house upon the rock, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. The rain descends and the floods come, the winds blow and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon Christ. Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, upon his own righteousness. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Philippians 2, verses 12 to 14. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. And that's our study. Thank you all for coming out.